Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center presents Doc Talk, an informative health series educating our community on the services provided at Peace Health. We will begin with our host, George Henry, after these messages.
Keep the hearts of Florence pumping. Join us for the Art from the Heart Walk kickoff Friday, July 23rd from 5 to 8 p.m. next to the Heart Sculpture on Bay Street. Pick up your passport to view all the amazing art and then hop online at peacehealth.org/artforheartwalk to bid on your new art. Proceeds benefit the Peace Health Peace Harbor Foundation Cardiac Program Support Fund. Complete your passport for a chance to win a legacy portrait by photographer Roger Bennett. That's Friday, July 23rd in Old Town.
During uncertain times, the best way to stay healthy is to know the facts. Here are some ways we all can help stop the spread of COVID-19. Only leave your home for necessities. Wash your hands for at least 20 seconds. Call your doctor before going to the clinic or hospital if you're experiencing COVID-19 symptoms. At Peace Health, the safety and well-being of our patients, caregivers, and communities is our highest priority. We are all in this together. For more information, log on to peacehealth.org/COVID.
Joining me for this edition of Doc Talk, we have Physician's Assistant Ben Schroeder, who is, he's a re-interviewee here for this edition of Doc Talk. We met Ben Schroeder about 3 years ago when he came to town and as part of the Peace Harbor Clinic. Ben, welcome.
Thank you, George. I'm very happy to be here today.
Good to have you. Let's reintroduce you to people who may not have been in town at the time, may have just moved here. May have missed the program the first time around. Tell me a little bit about your background and share that with us so that we kind of know, like maybe start off with, where you grew up.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. My name is Ben Schroeder. I'm a physician assistant, a PA here at the walk-in clinic in town. I grew up in the great state of Wisconsin and spent a lot of my younger years in the Midwest, lived in Iowa for a little while, but kind of think of Wisconsin as the original home. Did my undergrad in Iowa and then also went to PA school in Iowa at Des Moines University. Picked a career in medicine because I've always thought the human body is just fascinating. All the different processes that go on, the different feedback loops, all the anatomy in there is just incredible, all that goes on in there. I have a passion for helping people. I really enjoy that part of the job also. I did not always think that I would have a job in medicine. I initially went to college and I thought I would be a zookeeper. I did a summer internship at a zoo. Actually, I got that far. And I enjoyed that a lot. You know, it was cleaning up after the animals, cleaning their exhibits, taking care of them, feeding them, that kind of thing. Eventually discovered being a PA and going into medicine. But that was not always the plan from the start.
Did you ever think of maybe doing the veterinary medicine at some point?
I did not. I don't know what it was. That part never really appealed to me. For some reason, it was more of like the wildlife.
The caring aspect.
Like the caring, looking after them, or like wildlife biology more. For some reason, I don't know what it was. I just always was more attracted to that part.
Now, let me know, because I know the differences between a doctor and a PA, but for those who know or don't know me, I was a real fan of the TV show Royal Pains when it came out, and they had a doctor and a physician's assistant. What you guys are responsible for are pretty close, aren't they?
It is quite similar. The schooling for a PA is shorter. PAs don't typically do residencies like an MD or a DO would. But then on a day-to-day basis, I see patients, histories and exams, ordering tests, ordering imaging, prescribing medications. I really just don't have the independence that a doctor has. I do have a supervising doctor, and that really is one of the main differences. Can't perform surgery on my own either. Not that I would want to be doing that anyway, but those are some of the main differences.
Does a physician's assistant choose an area of expertise that they go into, or is it general medicine?
The schooling is really general medicine, and then kind of just picking a field that you would like to go into. And that's one thing that I like about being a PA is that, I guess, lateral mobility might be the word, is if I start off, I'm in the walk-in clinic now, and I really enjoy it here. But if I ever said, boy, I think I might like to go into urology or something like that, the route to do that would simply be applying for a job in urology. You know, I wouldn't have to redo a residency or something like that. So I like that flexibility of it.
So it's like on the job training, so to speak?
It is. That's a big part of it as a PA. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
But again, like you said, you're always supervised. You have a supervising physician. So that's correct. Where you get that great educational aspect of it while you're still helping people.
It is, yeah, and I really like that collaboration. I've got a wonderful supervising doc here, and I really appreciate that opportunity for collaboration.
So let's talk a little bit about the walk-in clinic here before we go to our first break. Kind of give us a refresher. Tell us a little bit about what the walk-in clinic does, what kind of services they provide, when they're open.
Yeah. So our hours, Monday through Friday, we open up at 6:45 in the morning, and we take our last patient at 5:30 in the evening. We're open on Saturday also, and we open 1 hour later. So we take in our first you can check in at 7:45, and then we take in the last patient at 5:30 on Saturday. Also, we're not open on Sundays. And we're here for really anything you can walk in with, you know. Of course, we have the emergency department that's right across the sidewalk from us. You know, if you're really having some acute or severe symptoms, you know, any symptoms of heart attack, stroke, intractable pain, vomiting, things like that. But, you know, if you have a laceration, a sprain, some joint pain, fever, an abscess on your skin, vomiting, urinary bowel changes, headaches, sports physicals, really all sorts of things. I like to think of us as being pretty adaptable and flexible.
Can you do like a comprehensive physical for somebody that may not see a doctor on a regular basis, that kind of needs like, you know, to see where they're at in their physiology?
Yeah, we don't perform kind of like the annual physical. We do some kinds of physicals like sports physicals for kids or CDL exams for folks that have a CDL. You know, but if you have a specific concern, you can always come on in and see us and we'll have a discussion about it.
Yeah, because I hate to admit, I haven't seen a doctor. I'm 60 now. I haven't seen a doctor since I was like 20 something, and that was to have a physical for a job. So I'm thinking, you know, at 60 now, there may be a few things that need, you know, a little attention from time to time. All right, we're
sure. Well, if it makes it better, you're sure not the only one.
Yeah, I can imagine that. I'm speaking with Ben Schroeder. He's a physician's assistant over at the walk-in clinic at Peace Harbor Hospital, and we'll be back, and we'll obviously, as much as none of us probably want to, we're going to talk a little bit about COVID. Keep the hearts of Florence pumping. Join us for the Art from the Heart Walk kickoff Friday, July 23rd from 5 to 8 p.m. next to the Heart Sculpture on Bay Street. Pick up your passport to view all the amazing art and then hop online at peacehealth.org/artforheartwalk to bid on your new art. Proceeds benefit the Peace Health Peace Harbor Foundation Cardiac Program Support Fund. Complete your passport for a chance to win a legacy portrait by photographer Roger Bennett. That's Friday, July 23rd in Old Town.
During uncertain times, the best way to stay healthy is to know the facts. Here are some ways we all can help stop the spread of COVID-19. Only leave your home for necessities. Wash your hands for at least 20 seconds. Call your doctor before going to the clinic or hospital if you're experiencing COVID-19 symptoms. At Peace Health, the safety and well-being of our patients, caregivers, and communities is our highest priority. We are all in this together. For more information, log on to peacehealth.org/COVID.
On this edition of Doc Talk, I'm speaking with Ben Schroeder. He's a physician's assistant at the walk-in clinic, and we heard a little bit about what Ben has done in his past and where he's at now. Let's talk, Ben, a little bit about, you know, what things were like prior to COVID-19 in the walk-in clinic. What amount of patients were you seeing, you know, back then versus now?
So are you talking about the pre-COVID days?
Pre-COVID days. What was it like pre-COVID?
Pre-COVID, going way back, it feels like. You know, we would get pretty steady volume. A lot of times, you know, it would just be you get done seeing one patient and there's another one ready to go. And a lot of times that's the way we like it. You know, we want to keep people moving through here in a timely manner. We know that people have other things they want to get to and want to get them feeling better as soon as we can. And then, you know, COVID came on, and especially at first when that stay-at-home order came out, I guess it must have been March of last year, we had some really light days. It was kind of eerie around here just because, you know, everybody was following those stay-at-home orders and not really going out unless they had really some significant need, you know, some severe pain or something that really couldn't wait to be seen. So we definitely had some light days, and that has now been kind of slowly ramping up. The patient volumes have been going back up. If you've been in the last couple weeks here, we apologize about the wait times. You know, we are definitely getting back up to probably pre-COVID volumes again. You know, people are getting back out there and getting their needs addressed. We have had a couple primary care providers leave Peace Harbor here in the last few months. And so those folks are coming to get their needs addressed here at the walk-in clinic. So yeah, we are, numbers are definitely going back up. It's getting a little bit more normal around here.
Now, I've heard some information on news and news outlets and things like that, that, you know, hospitals like emergency rooms and that are really struggling now because they were just getting over the inundation as far as, you know, the physical amount of time they've had to put in. And now all of a sudden things are ramping back up. And you mentioned it is starting to trickle and get to pre-COVID levels. What about things like supplies and that? I mean, we've heard about every supply chain affected with gas and wood and all that stuff. What about the medical industry?
You know, I think we're doing pretty well there. I have to imagine that the production of things like masks, N95s, on the hospital side, things like ventilators, I have to imagine that production was just so ramped up last year as they were getting so heavily used. But we are very well supplied here as far as all that we need, you know, to keep people safe, get our jobs done. Yeah, fortunately, it's not like what we're seeing in the timber industry where the prices are off the charts and the supply is pretty low. So we're fortunate in that department.
Are you having a lot of conversations with patients that come in regarding the vaccine? Are you seeing people that are coming
Definitely.
In? Yeah.
Yeah, I would say, you know, probably most days I'm talking to at least one person on some level about the vaccine, whether it's just a casual conversation about their experience with getting it or if they have some specific questions about it. I did do a talk with Mr. Jason Davis of Lane County Public Health a couple weeks ago. That was in probably mid to early June. And we talked pretty in depth about the COVID vaccine. If anybody is on Facebook, they can go to Lane County Public Health's Facebook page and check that out. But yeah, do you have some questions about that?
Well,
there's something you'd like to talk about that?
Well, what I was curious is that, you know, just I think just in yesterday's newspaper or something, I saw, you know, maybe some other side effects that are coming out now that are affecting a very small amount of people. But I think a lot of what I've heard from patients who've chosen not to get vaccinated was that they just weren't sure yet as to, you know, what potential side effects they might have to face in the future. Are you hearing anything like that from the unvaccinated population that you deal with?
I do hear that. You know, it's part of that hesitancy. You know, it's just the unknown, you know, that question mark of what is going to happen in the future. And, you know, the main thing that I tell people is, you know, by this point, the trials for these COVID vaccines, specifically the Pfizer and Moderna, they started in July 2020. So it's been about a year now that we have we have about a year's worth of data that tells us these vaccines are pretty darn safe. You know, we have had, unfortunately, the most recent one is those pretty rare episodes of Guillain-Barré syndrome, that neurologic condition that can happen after vaccination. We had those episodes of acute clotting troubles with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine also. And then, of course, you know, a lot of people, they get a vaccine and they might have some aches or a mild fever, runny nose, that kind of thing after getting the shot. But, you know, we have some pretty decent longer term health data. I mean, I wish that we had 5 or 10 years of data on this, too. It's just not what we have because this has been such a rapidly developing situation and COVID-19 hasn't been around that long. But, you know, all things considered, we have a pretty good amount of data. We've got about a year now, and the folks that were involved in those first trials, you know, they're not seeing any kind of strange side effects, not growing third arms, anything like that. So I think that's pretty reassuring that we've got about a year now and things are looking pretty darn good. And the rate of the efficacy of these vaccines is still quite high, even many months after immunization.
Well, just today we heard a news report out from ABC News about the Delta variant and how, like, for the example, the state of Arkansas has had like a 90% severe increase in the Delta virus cases, and 90% of the people that are coming in are unvaccinated. I believe that the belief is right now that these vaccines are effective for this Delta variant as well, correct?
Correct. That is the understanding. Let me look at the data here. So, yeah, you've got the Pfizer vaccine. That is about 90% to 95% effective in preventing COVID. Moderna has similar rates. Johnson & Johnson, about 70% to 85% effective. And that was when there weren't so many variants around. But even as these variants have come out of places, they get named after, you know, South Africa or Great Britain or now the Delta variant, it seems that these vaccines that we have are basically just as effective against these variants that keep coming out. So the vaccine is still the best thing you can do to prevent yourself from getting COVID, whether it is whatever variant that maybe you may have.
And now some of the people who have chosen not to get vaccines, what is the push to help folks understand how much more severe Delta can be? And what are you telling folks there at the clinic about how much more virulent this form or this strand of the disease is? Or the virus.
You know, it's unfortunate. It seems like every new kind of variant is just more virulent than the past one. This one just seems to really be so transmissible between people. And I think, like you mentioned before, the places that are just getting exploding case rates, it's really driven by the Delta variant at this point. And so, you know, I just try to highlight that the vaccines that we have available are very effective against the Delta variant, and that is the main one that is out there right now. And while it's not, I mean, I wish these vaccines were 100% effective. I mean, 95 or 90% is pretty darn good, too. But that is the very best thing you can do to protect yourself against COVID is get one of these vaccines. And really, the downside is basically non-existent. You know, there are these almost 1 in a million adverse reactions that some people are having, whether it's this Guillain-Barré that has come out with Johnson & Johnson or those thrombotic events with Johnson & Johnson from previously. But, you know, those are very few and far between when you look at the large number of people that have been getting these immunizations. And so they're just they're very, very safe. They wouldn't be being used on such a large scale if they weren't. You know, that safety and effectiveness are the number one and number 1A goals. And the vaccines satisfy those things. And it's just the best thing you can do to protect yourself. And that's just what I try to tell everybody. The best thing, you can do to protect yourself and the people that you're around that you care about.
Now, Lane County is over the 70% mark of the vaccinated population, as well as the state as a whole. Let me rephrase that. Some people that I've talked to said, well, you know, I'm in a very highly vaccinated community. But yet we have communities around Oregon that have under 50% vaccination rates. And a lot of these people like to spend time on the coast. Should these people that are in highly vaccinated communities, they should still be concerned, right? If they're not vaccinated?
Well, yeah, I mean, I would still recommend that a person who is eligible to get the vaccine still get the vaccine, even if you are in an area that has already hit 70%, kind of that threshold for quote unquote herd immunity, because it still gives you that personal protection. You know, once an area has hit herd immunity, it makes it a lot harder for the COVID-19 virus to replicate and spread. And that's a great thing. I'm very glad that Lane County and Oregon has hit those thresholds. But that doesn't, you know, give a certain individual necessarily protection if they haven't had the immunization themselves. And like you talked about, you know, that person might be traveling around. They might have family in other states or parts of the state that are not so protected. And it'll be important for them to have that personal protection also, you know, to have those antibodies that your body makes when you get the immunization to actually fight that off if you were to contract COVID-19.
All right. I'm speaking with Ben Schroeder. He's a physician's assistant at the clinic at Peace Harbor Hospital. And we'll come back in a moment and maybe talk a little bit more about the clinic and a little bit less about COVID-19 right after this. Keep the hearts of Florence pumping. Join us for the Art from the Heart Walk kickoff Friday, July 23rd from 5 to 8 p.m. next to the Heart Sculpture on Bay Street. Pick up your passport to view all the amazing art and then hop online at peacehealth.org/artforheartwalk to bid on your new art. Proceeds benefit the Peace Health Peace Harbor Foundation Cardiac Program Support Fund. Complete your passport for a chance to win a legacy portrait by photographer Roger Bennett. That's Friday, July 23rd in Old Town.
During uncertain times, the best way to stay healthy is to know the facts. Here are some ways we all can help stop the spread of COVID-19. Only leave your home for necessities. Wash your hands for at least 20 seconds. Call your doctor before going to the clinic or hospital if you're experiencing COVID-19 symptoms. At Peace Health, the safety and well-being of our patients, caregivers, and communities is our highest priority. We are all in this together. For more information, log on to peacehealth.org/COVID.
Speaking with Ben Schroeder, physician's assistant at Peace Harbor Clinic here in Florence, and Ben's been here about 3 years now, and I guess you've gotten acclimated to the community so far. I didn't ask, do you have children?
I do not have any children. Just it's me and my wife and our two crazy dogs.
Okay, so you don't have to worry about the school system at this point, but there are kids in our community, and we do have a vaccine for those that are 12 and up. With kids, what are we hearing about, you know, specifically about from parents about safety?
You know, honestly, in my conversations with parents, the number one response I hear is that most parents are really ready for it. It's the Pfizer vaccine that is approved for kids 12 and up, at least the last update that I had seen. And I know that they're working on getting that approved for children even younger. But really most parents are just, if they have a kid who is between 12 and 18, they were relieved to be able to get them that vaccine and get them that immunity, especially with the school year coming up. With all the trouble, I can't even, you know, not having kids myself, I can't even imagine what the parents and the school children were going through last year with having to do the online school and the uncertainty. I just can't imagine how stressful that must have been. So the number one response I hear is just thank goodness that we can at least get some of these kids immunized and get them that protection against COVID ahead of this school year. And hopefully that age of 12 will get even lower and we can get even younger kids that protection against COVID before or early in the school year also.
Now, speaking of younger kids there, let's talk a little bit about, you know, with the the kind of the low amount of primary care physicians that we've had. You said we lost a couple over the past month or so. What about pediatricians in Florence? Do we have anybody that specializes in that, or are we still without?
So we don't have any technical pediatricians, but we do have plenty of providers here, primary care providers who do see children. And, you know, so we have providers here who deliver babies, and then providers who then see them in the weeks after and provide care to those just the tiny babies. And then in the weeks, months, and years after, several of our PCPs see young children and do those the well child exams to make sure they're hitting their milestones and growing up and getting bigger like they should be. And the ones, it seems like the ones that do that really, really enjoy it. They really like that part of the job, it seems like. And so I feel that we're very, very well equipped to be able to see kids on the primary care side of it. You know, certainly there are pediatricians in Eugene, and if you're a parent and you feel like that's the best route for your kid, that is absolutely fair. But I do think we're pretty darn well equipped here in Florence to take care of kids of all ages.
Would you say the biggest difference is maybe having to deal with childhood diseases or things like that versus normal everyday, you know, take care of the runny nose, cold, you know, growing pains or whatever that might be?
As far as the walk-in clinic?
Yeah, as far as you said, we're very well equipped here to handle it. So I'm guessing that everything with the exception of maybe like some major diseases are things that, you know, can be handled here.
Yeah, you know, because we have quite a few pediatric specialists actually at Riverbend. It's pretty amazing. There is there's pediatric surgeons who only do surgery on children. They have even the operating rooms have fun drawings on the wall and things like that. There are pediatric cardiologists specifically for they work with children's hearts and evaluate those. And, you know, hospitalists for children, and actually the only center in the region that works with PECTIS, with chest deformities for kids also. So, you know, those kind of specialized things we have over the Coastal Cascades in Eugene. But a lot of things that the needs that children have, you know, the well child exams, whether they might have asthma or some of those other conditions that kids can have, I think we're well equipped to handle here. And then we also have the walk-in clinic here that I'm a part of. We see kids pretty frequently, whether it's for something like they're having a fever or a rash or they had a fall or their ear hurts or something like that. We see kids pretty frequently, and we have a couple providers here who really like to see kids also. And we can always help out with those acute visits for kids also.
Now, I know as far as the COVID vaccines are going, Peace Harbor was doing Wednesday vaccinations. Is that done at the clinic?
It is done in the building of the walk-in clinic, our 390 building here. It's done a couple hallways over, but you would check in at the front desk of the 390 building. And the hours for that happens on Wednesdays. And it's from 8:30 to 4:30. You can just walk in. There's no appointment needed. That is, like you mentioned, that's our walk-in vaccination clinic.
Now, one last question here, because I want to kind of, you know, let people know. If you don't have a primary care physician and say you need to get something like a colonoscopy or something like that, is that something that can be scheduled in that through the clinic? Or is there a different venue to go to for that?
It is. Yeah. You can absolutely come see us. You know, if you're due for a colonoscopy, have some kind of chronic health need, you can absolutely come see us. I would like to get the phone number out there that you can call to be kind of put on the waiting list to get a primary care provider. That number is 541-997-7134. Our operations director and a couple other personnel are working tirelessly to get people assigned with primary care providers who can handle those kind of health maintenance needs, get people assigned to PCPs. But we're eager to help here in the walk-in clinic also.
All right. Ben Schroeder, thank you so much. Ben is a physician's assistant at Peace Harbor Walk-In Clinic. Appreciate it. Say hi to everybody over there. I haven't seen Dr. Caton in a while.
Will do. You come see us sometime, George.
I have to come see you. My wife is telling me I'm 60 now. I should have a colonoscopy, but I keep putting it off.
Yeah, well, you got to listen to that.
I know. I got to listen to the wife. I know that. Thank you so much, Ben. And we appreciate your time.
Thank you, George. It was good talking with you.
You have been listening to Doc Talk, presented by Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center. For more information on the program and services provided, visit peacehealth.org.